Hey, I just want to echo a lot of what Pastor Alex said before we kick this thing off. But man, we are so grateful for each one of you. Revival would 100% not look the same. It wouldn't be as efficient and effective. It wouldn't have reached as many people as it has reached. And it wouldn't be nearly the same place that it is without all of your guys' contribution to this house. So thank you guys, seriously. Our hats are off to you. Pastor Alex doesn't wear hats, but if he had one, it would figuratively be off to you guys. Hey, we just want to say thank you. And Chick-fil-A is good, but it is not a whole lot. You guys have gone way far above and beyond to help and serve this church. And so it is a small token of how grateful we are, but know that Chick-fil-A is not even going to cover the whole thing. We are seriously grateful for all of you. So thank you for being a part of Team Night. I just wanted to kick things off before Pastor Alex and Steph come up and share just a word of encouragement, a word of vision just at this house. I was convicted or just, I don't know, convicted, but just, I don't know, I've just been kind of stirring this idea of everybody has a next step. It's something that was proposed to me at a conference we went to a little while with our church network, and the church that we were going to just kind of reiterated this, that everybody has a next step. And it is like, it's not groundbreaking. It really isn't. It's not like a revolutionary idea, but if you just sit on it for a little bit and think about it in the context of what we do on a Sunday morning, in the context of what we do on a Wednesday night or a Monday night for a class or a Sunday night for a class, if you think about everybody has a next step, it starts to unify what we do as Revival, as the serving team at Revival. I just heard about this. I know this is probably a hot button for some people, but the New York Yankees, I know people feel certain ways about the New York Yankees, but I just heard that they do not, and I don't really watch baseball, but they do not have the player's name on the back of their jerseys. They actually just have the Yankees. And when asked about it, the owner of the Yankees said, it's not about the individual, it's about the whole. And I love this idea that they represent something far bigger than the individual name. And that's so uncommon today. Everybody's about making a name for themselves, making a name for the individual. It's not about the collective. It's not about the whole. And I love this idea. And so to this, like, as we're approaching some, like, the church's, like, Super Bowl, as Steph would say. Thanks, Steph. I love that. The church's Super Bowl, Easter, Christmas. These are times that the calendar, the world has deemed as like, this is a church day. You go to church on Christmas, and ramping up to Christmas, we just start to see new faces and new people coming in the doors of Revival. So I just wanted, as we lean into some of these like newer, like hospitality and guest things, that as we're leaning into that, I want us to think as a team and think like, it's not about the individual, but it's about the whole. And so the next step, so let's get back into that. The next step, everybody has a next step. When we start viewing everybody in the church as like, what is your next step? The things that we do on a Sunday morning become so much less the thing that we do and so much bigger and better and more, profound for that person's spiritual walk. Because when we think about everybody has a next step, the next step for us is to say, everybody can get closer to the Lord, right? Every single person. You think about the person coming in those doors for the first time that experiences Revival. Man, their next step, it's just going back and getting a free t-shirt. It's just texting Rev Omaha and getting a free t-shirt. That's their next step. But it's the person that's come here 100 times and they've had a really rough week. They got hit financially. They're getting sued. That's me. I can talk about it later. I won't talk about it tonight. I had a rough week. And what I needed was prayer, and I needed a pastor to just sit and be like, are you okay? Thank you, Pastor Alex. But I just needed that. That was the next step for me. I needed someone to identify me and say, hey, here's your next step. That was my wife. Thank you, Kayla. And say, go talk to your pastor. And so that was so good for me. There's the kids and kidsmen that are coming down, and they're going to Vive Kids, and it's the second grader that comes in and says, I've been here 3 weeks. What's their next step? I want to learn the memory verse this week. I want to find where Genesis is in the Bible. That's that kid's next step. It's not about the thing you're doing on a Sunday. It's about the thing that you're helping somebody else do. And we get to put a guise over that. We get to open a door for somebody. We get to serve coffee, or we get to stand and give away free shirts and things like that. It's not about those things, but it's about helping people find their next step so they can grow closer to the Lord. Does that make sense? Does that click? Does that resonate? I think as we enter into that, as a church, as a collective, every single ministry operates out of that. We can trust that every single ministry is going to be handing off their person to the next group or next ministry that person is getting involved in, and we can start to operate as a team. We start operating as a whole, and I think that's so powerful, and we can trust each other when we say, I know that person is going to find the next step when they go to this small group, because I know that small group is also going to be asking, what's that person's next step? Does that make sense? Is that checking out? I love it. It's, again, it's like the easiest thing to like, but when you think about it, you're like, everybody does have a next step. Wow. And when we think about it on a Sunday morning, it makes what we do here so much less about what we do. Does that make sense? Like serving coffee, opening a door, it makes it more about the people, and I love it. I have one story. For me, this is, I was just thinking through, like, what was the experience where I challenged someone with the next step, and how did that turn out? And so I remember back when I was serving in a different church, I was a youth pastor. Pastor Alex was my overseeing youth pastor, and he always said, if you see a new family on Sunday mornings, you better invite them to youth group because we need them. We need them there. And I was like, fair enough. I really hate the small talk, the just like, go on up, like cold call sales thing, you know, hey, what's up? My name's Andrew. Yo, trying to be cool, relatable. So I strike up a conversation. I saw this new family at one of our campuses. I'm like, yo, do you play Pokemon Go? And he's like, no. I was like, YOLO. I'm just kidding. But I invited him to youth group that night. He comes to youth group that night, and he brings a lot of friends, because that's way better to do that way. Bring a lot of friends. And then a few weeks later, he keeps bringing friends. He keeps coming, keeps getting his butt kicked in soccer. Sorry, kids, if that's a bad word. And his friends do too. And a few weeks later, he keeps getting involved. A few weeks later, he's still involved. A few months later, he's going to camp. A few months later, he's bringing his family to youth group. A few months later, he's speaking on the stage. A few months later, he's going to college at NCC, and fast forward to now, I get the honor and the privilege of working with this, the most mature, the most fiery, the most passionate youth pastor that I know. Pastor Stone. Pastor Stone's next step a few years ago was going to youth group, man. And it was, I'm not saying this to like build myself up. There was a community, because Pastor Stone had so many people. He had his dad pouring into him. He had Vito Augusta. He had Pastor Alex pouring into him. There was so many people that pushed Stone into the next step, into the next step, into the next step. And I've never seen a more mature, how old are you, 22? 23-year-old in my life. Dude, you are awesome, bro. Thank you, dude. Thank you for taking the challenge. Thank you for taking the next step. So you don't know what someone's potential is when they walk in the door. Challenge them. Find their next step for them. This is like a hospitality thing. Just find their next step. You're the one. Take them to the connection center and say, hey, they're new here. They get a free shirt, right? You know, even if you don't know the process, just be like, I think this is what it is, and we'll make it work. All right. Hey, I just want to pray, and I want you guys to stand up as we pray, and we're going to welcome Alex, Pastor Alex and Steph here. But dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for nights like tonight. Lord, we thank you where we get to gather as leaders, ministry leaders in this house, Lord. We get to just hear from the man you've put in charge of our house, Lord, from Pastor Alex, our head pastor, Lord. And Lord, from Steph, Lord, we are just so encouraged and eager to hear what you have, Lord. So I just pray an anointing over them as they speak tonight, as they cast vision for us for the future, Lord. Lord, we love you so much, Lord, and that's why we're here. That's why we do what we do, Lord. It's not because we're making coffee. It's not because we're holding the door, Lord. It's because we want people to find you and get closer to you every single day. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, would you invite Pastor Alex up?
Thank you, guys. I'm going to have Pastor Steph join me in a little bit. Yeah, I just... We've been thinking about this team night for a while and just and looking back at this year, and there's just been, it would have been really easy to look back at this year and just, like, what's the devil always want you to do? He wants you to look back and just see the things that didn't go the way that you thought they were going to go. And he wants you to just focus on all the plans you had all the way back in January when we're starting this new year and we're talking about, man, like, I know, like, the Lord gave us a word for 2024, and it was to be planted in his house. And some of you were there, and you started to catch a vision and an idea of what it would look like to be planted in God's house. And along the way, there were plenty of moments, I'm sure, where things this year maybe didn't go the way you thought they were going to go. And maybe it just got a little sidetracked, a little left, a little to the right. But I just wanted to encourage you, like thank you for staying planted. Because when you stay planted, like what happens, like when you let your roots grow down deep into God's house, you create a house, like that's what you've done. You've helped create a house where when people come in, they experience the power and presence of Jesus because he lives within us. And they come into a place where they see people that genuinely love him and worship and praise him and seek his presence, seek his face. I was thinking about Andrew and, you know, Pastor Andrew, what his conversation was, and really what we want for people when they come in is exactly what Pastor Stone received all those years ago when we were doing ministry. It's first for people to be known, and then for people to know that they're loved, and then after that, challenged. We want people to come in to be known, loved, and challenged. Sometimes I think we think like, oh, we just need to, you know, challenge people right off the bat. It's like, no, first just get to know them. Just get to love them, encourage them. Once you know them and love them and you have a relationship with them, then you can step in and you can have those conversations where there might be a challenge. And there might be like, hey, what's that next step? What's it look like to go further than what you've gone so far? How do you take that next step with Jesus to get into his presence and to walk with him? So we want people to be known, loved, and challenged when they're getting planted in God's house. I want to read to you guys from John chapter 2. This is one, we talk about this one a lot, but it's important to remember this. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to them, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." We talk about this one so much because it's so important to remember that the very first people that saw the very first miracle of Jesus, it was the servants who carried the water. And I just want to encourage you, whatever your role is, whatever you're, you know, wherever you're at right now and how you're serving in God's kingdom, first of all, that might not be, in fact, I'm going to almost guarantee, just because you started there doesn't mean that's where you're going to end. But everybody has that first step, that first next step. But it's the servants that carry the water that saw the very first miracles of Jesus. And so there's so many miracles that we're getting to see and be a part of already in this house. But don't let the devil try to get you out of your place because it's not going as fast or it doesn't look exactly how you thought it would at this time. 2 Kings 3, verse 9. This is after the prophet Elijah had called the other prophet, future prophet, Elisha to follow him. It says this, so the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they marched on that roundabout route 7 days, and there was no water for the army, nor for the animals that followed them. And the king of Israel said, alas, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hands of Moab. But Jehoshaphat said, is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? So one of the servants, the king of Israel, answered and said, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. Elijah's gone at this time. Now it's Elisha. And this is what he was known for. He was the man who poured the water. What did he do? He was a servant. Before he was a prophet, he was a servant. And he just carried the water. And he poured the water on the hands of God's man, on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. It might feel like you're just carrying water, but what you're doing right now is preparing you for what God wants you to do next. It might feel like you're in a season where nobody sees you, nobody knows you, nobody recognizes you. They don't realize what it is that you do. They don't realize what God has put inside of you. I really believe that. God has put something inside of each and every one of us. He's put a desire and a call on our hearts. That's why you're here tonight, because you want to take that next step. You want to keep going further and farther with him. Don't be discouraged if it feels like you're just carrying the water and pouring the water in this season. Number 16, verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, you take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? So when Moses heard it, he fell on his face, and he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him. That one whom he chooses, he will cause to come near to him. Do this. Take censers, Korah and all your company. Put fire in them and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow, and it shall be that the man whom the Lord chooses is the Holy One. You take too much upon yourselves, you sons of Levi. Then Moses said to Korah, hear now, you sons of Levi, is it a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to serve them, and that he has brought you near to himself, you and all your brethren, the sons of Levi, with you? And are you seeking the priesthood also? Therefore, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you complain against him? Korah would have been Moses and Aaron's cousin. So he's seeing what's going on, and he's seeing his cousins being raised up as leaders over the people of Israel, spiritual leaders. And he sees that and he wants that. But here's the thing. He was a Levite, and so there was an important role for him. He'd been set apart for the work of the tabernacle. But it wasn't everything he wanted. And so what did he do? He started to gather people together to him, and he started to, what did he do? He created rebellion. He started to grow discontentment, bitterness among these people. Some of them, they were the group that he gathered, they were the sons of Reuben. So Reuben was Israel's oldest son. And in the Old Testament especially, the leadership of the family would have been passed down from each generation to the oldest son. That was what it was all about. It was always about the oldest son. And so for the leadership of Israel to go to Moses and Aaron and to skip over Reuben, it created bitterness and jealousy inside. And Moses, he just spoke to them. He called this out of them and he said, listen, do you realize, do you really think it's a small thing that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord? He wanted to remind them that what you're doing, it's not a small thing. When you're serving coffee, it's not a small thing. When you're cleaning afterwards, when you're setting up and tearing down chairs every week, it is not a small thing to do the work of the tabernacle, to do the work to build God's house. You're helping create a space and a place where people come and they enter into his presence. And there's people that come into this room for the very first time on a Sunday, and they have no clue what's going on. They don't know, but they come in and they can tell there's something different here. First of all, it starts with God's people that have prepared a place. They built the tabernacle. And they've created a space that you can come in and you can experience him. It's not about the LED wall. It's not about the lights. It's not about any of that stuff. But if we create a space that's ready and prepared and there's no distractions, and if we create a space where we have great people that love on the kids that are coming into this building every week, this is something, my wife, she started to get this vision for our church back in the fall. But her heart was to build a strong kids ministry so that when we got a single mother that's coming in on a Sunday that just needs to experience the Lord, she can know that she can pass her kid off to our kids ministry and she can trust that that kid is going to have a great experience on a Sunday morning because there's people that love Jesus so much, they care for his kids and they steward the lives of those kids so well when they come in on a Sunday morning that they can come up here and not have a worry, not have any anxiety, not have a doubt that the devil can't get a foothold in their minds and they can just enter into the presence of God and they can get relief from his soothing oil, from his ointment, so they can get healing from what's been going on in their lives and their mind and their soul and their spirit, that they can be restored in the presence of Jesus. We're preparing a place. The work of the tabernacle, whatever it is you do, it matters. It's not a small thing. And whatever it is you do, it's an opportunity every time. You're not just serving a cup of coffee. The cup of coffee is an excuse for you to have a conversation. It's an excuse for you to say, hey, how long you been going here? I don't recognize you. It's great to see you. Well, how did you find revival? Are you in a small group? What are those questions you can start to ask and engage with people? I love to see our coffee bar people. They do so good at this. Andrew and I, we keep highlighting them, probably because Andrew loves coffee. But that's a place for you to connect and help walk somebody into that next step. When you're doing check-in for kids, that's a place for you to connect and help walk somebody into that next step to begin to build a relationship so that person can know, they know me here. When you start to learn their names, and listen, do whatever you can to learn names. Like, here's my cheat code. I have a little note in my phone, my Apple Notes. And when I meet somebody new, I open up New People at Revival. That's my note I go to. And I write their name down, and I write a little description. Tall guy with hair, all right? I don't know. Whatever you got to do to remember, you know, it'll work for you. But start to do those things, because when that person comes back the next week and you know their name and you can go up to them and say, hey, John, how's your week, man? Good to see you again. What's going on? What's God speaking to you right now? All of a sudden, they're like, whoa, they know me here. And then they're going to start to realize, like, I think they genuinely care. They love me here. And it's going to take people into a place where they can receive challenge. Hey, John, I think there's a next step for you. I think he's got more for you. He wants you to just encounter him, to enter into his presence. Known, love, challenge. Whatever you do, however you serve, there's no small thing. That's what Moses was trying to remind Korah of in those moments. It's not a small thing. Don't sacrifice everything because you think what you're doing is small. What you do matters. I want to close with this. Mark 8, verse 22. Jesus, he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him, and they begged him to touch him. These guys, this group of friends, they brought a blind man to Jesus and they were begging him to just touch him. They knew. They had heard, they knew, they'd probably seen, they'd probably witnessed it. They had seen what Jesus had done. And so they take their friend who was blind, they take him to Jesus, and they're just begging him, just touch him so that he can see again. But Jesus instead, he takes the blind man by the hand and he leads him out of the town. He leads him all the way out of the town, away from everybody. Just close your eyes for a minute and just imagine being blind and imagine you just met some guy that you've heard stories about. You don't know him. You have no clue. And all of a sudden, he's like, all right, follow me. And he starts taking you out of that place, away from your friends that brought you there. And you just have to trust this guy. And he takes you all the way out of town. And all of a sudden, you start to hear him. Yeah, no, it's gross, right? It's gross, right? I mean, you start to hear him making spit in his mouth. And he starts to take the spit and he puts it on your. First of all, you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. If you're the blind guy, you're like, no, please don't. I heard you could just touch people. He's like, no, that's not how we're going to do it for you. You get the spit. You get the spit. When he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. He went from blind to blurry. I just want to encourage somebody in here tonight. I think there's been so many moments this year that you felt like you're blind and you cannot see what God is doing. But I'm just praying and believing that you're starting to get a little, you're seeing something. He's starting to open your eyes to what he's doing and how he's working. And you're starting to see men like trees walking. It's not clear yet, but you're starting to see it. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. Not every healing looks the same. Some people, they got their eyes back right away. They got their vision back without the spit. But this guy got the spit. Not every healing looks the same. Not every miracle looks the same. But keep letting Jesus put his hands on you. Keep trusting him even when you're in those spit seasons and it's gross and it's disgusting and you don't like it. But if you'll just keep opening your eyes and setting your eyes on him and spending time in his presence, letting him, when you spend time in his presence, when you get planted in his presence, what does he do? He puts his hands on you again and again. And the more you let him put his hands on your eyes, the more you start to see what he wants you to see. And you start to see clearly what he's doing. And I just believe right now we're in this season where it's a little blurry, where he's starting to reveal some things. And I believe that for us as a church. And we just have to keep going back and letting him put his hands on us, spending time in his presence. And I believe the more we do that, the more it's going to go from trees walking to we're going to see clearly everything he wants us to see. I just want to pray for a second. God, thanks so much for who you are and what you're doing. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to do the work. We just want to be a part of it. God, let us remember that it's an honor and a privilege. Whatever it is you call us into, whatever season we're in, I pray that we would stay strong, that we would stay planted in your presence, that we would just continue to go back to you. And Father God, I just ask for clear eyes in this season, that eyes would begin to be open. And that even if our healing, even if our miracle, even if our path that we're on doesn't look exactly how we thought it would or how we heard it went for others, God, we know that you can still do it. And that even if it's the spit, if that's the way that you want to do it, I just pray that we would choose to trust you. That we would choose to trust you, whether you put spit on our eyes or whether you do it in a moment, in a second. I pray that we would just trust you and have eyes to see what you're doing in this season. Father God, I just pray that you continue to just prepare our hearts for what you have next for us. As we start leaning into just finishing this year well, that we wouldn't let our eyes get so far ahead looking into 2025, but that we would just look each day coming up as we end November and December, that we would just look for the opportunities that you're giving us right here and right now. And that we would just walk with you, that we would slow down, that we would just go at your pace, that we would just, yeah, just take our eyes off of what's next and just put our eyes back on you. Holy Spirit, just please continue to just minister to us, bring healing. Lord Jesus, I just pray that we would get back to a place where we can receive from you. That we would just continue to come to you hungry and just open and ready for whatever you have for us. Thank you, Jesus. God, we just thank you again. We love you and we praise you. Amen. We got one last worship song. Worship team, you guys want to come on up and we'll close out with worship tonight? After we close, Andrew will dismiss us. We can go get our kids. And the last thing I just want to encourage you with is, our kids are just such a spiritual thermometer for what God is doing in our house. And I see it in my own kids. I see it in other people's kids in our house. But I just see kids growing up in this house that they're just excited. Like they genuinely like coming to church. I have to tell you, that's not every kid's experience. Like right now in this season, in this fall, my wife and I and our kids, we're in God's house. I mean, I don't know, 2 to 3 nights a week. You know, we're leading a group on Sunday. We're here on Sunday mornings. We're coming on Wednesdays. There's 2 to 3 times during the week that we're here in the house. And I mean, it's every time. I've never had to threaten our kids, like, you better get ready. You better get in the car. We got to go to church. Like, you have to go. In fact, actually, you guys are going to be like, wow, what kind of pastor are you? One of my threats right now, if our kids aren't listening, is you don't get to go to church. It's like, Maverick, you're staying home. It's like, okay. All right, I'm sorry, Dad. All right, good. Listen. They're a thermometer. They're a spiritual thermometer for what's going on. It's because the leaders in the house, the adults in the house, you're the thermostat. And you're setting the temperature for your kids. and you're making this a place that they want to be in, they desire to be in. You're building a house that kids want to be at. That's what you're doing. That's exciting. I feel the Holy Spirit moving on that. There's kids that come in here and they run around, and, you know, we'll have to tell them every now and then, hey, get off the stage, you know. But other than that, we want them to run. We want them to have fun. We want this to be a place of joy. Like, I really believe that's the kind of house we're building, a house where kids are excited, families are excited, and people are getting set free, healed, and delivered in the name of Jesus. So thank you for helping us build that kind of house. A house that's going to raise kids that know Jesus, that love him, that are excited about him, that want to invite their friends into the kingdom with them. So that's what I believe for 2025. There's just good fruit coming. In Leviticus 19, there's a specific passage. I wasn't going to do this one. I'm going to do it really quick. Leviticus 19 says this. When you come into the land and you have planted all kinds of trees for food, then you shall count their fruit as uncircumcised. 3 years it shall be uncircumcised to you. It shall not be eaten. But in the fourth year, this coming Easter, we turn four. In the fourth year, all its fruit shall be holy, a praise to the Lord. And in the fifth year, you may eat its fruit, that it may yield to you its increase. I'm the Lord your God. Stay planted, because what's coming is going to be amazing. It's going to be miraculous. We're going to see things that nobody thought we would see ever again. You're going to see the church in Acts 2 break out here in Omaha, Nebraska. And it's going to change the landscape of the Midwest and beyond. There's revival happening, and we're just a piece of it. It's an honor and a privilege to get to be a piece and a part of revival in God's land. Stay planted in his house. Year 4 is going to be good. Let's stand up and worship.